An intro to SDR in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report for August 25th. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY in Minneapolis. SDR, Software-Defined Radio Technology, has been around for a number of years. So just what is SDR? One non-ham across the pond who knows is Steve Brightman, the man behind SDR Play Limited. He talked about SDR in a 2018 Dayton Hamvention forum.
Steve is a veteran of the semiconductor industry, having worked at TI, Dallas Semi, and Maxim. He's worked on RF circuits for consumer TV and radio applications, as well as mobile applications and devices and satellites. A longtime SWLer, he promises he will get a full ticket one of these days. Is today the day? Not yet. Okay. All right. Steve's going to talk to you about an introduction to software-defined radio. Thanks, Steve.
I normally give a talk called Introduction to Software-Defined Radio. I've got a field of experts before me. So which one of you guys wants to come forward and give the presentation? Because I'm not claiming to be an expert on SDRs, but what my normal role in life is to be an evangelist for SDRs. Anyone that is just interested in it, and usually, is there anyone here that, because I was overwhelmed by that sea of hands, is there anyone that's here just to try and learn something about SDRs? Okay, so you guys will count. Thank you for being nice to me. So to try and get this within the time limit, I really kind of cut back on this, and I was instructed that I'm not allowed to do commercial messages and heavily promote my products and stuff, so I'm going to see how far I can get before Mr. Hicks beats me over the head. So briefly, what is an SDR? And you can read the words. I don't like reading words on slides because, like I say, my eyes are bad. I can't read them anyway. But basically, the whole name of the game here is you want to take a conventional radio with all those mixers and all this other stuff and everything you did in hardware. Essentially, you're going to split the task in two. And like almost everything else in this DSP world, the goal is to take the signal, get it from the antenna and digitize it, and then do magic in software. Right? I mean, that's the whole basis of every DSP application that's out there. It's not quite that simple, as people have discovered. There is still a need for some good, honest hardware analog engineering in the front end. You need things like band select filters and all sorts of good stuff. You've got to make sure that you don't get overloaded with exceedingly strong signals and so forth. But basically, the task is get a clean signal as soon as you can, digitize it, and then put it in software, because everything is possible in software, right? If you want to screw something up, do it in software. So why do you want one? Because of time constraints, I'm not going to go into great detail on anything. But what I used to do in my pitches, I would sort of reveal these one at a time, like being on the Letterman show or something, top 10 reasons. But in general, SDRs give you great general coverage. You're not hampered by the fact that you've got a hardware limitation. The guy has designed the radio to be in a specific band or do a specific thing. So you've got true general coverage. One of the key areas that a lot of our customers are using it for is to implement a pan adapter of some sort with an existing rig. And it gives you incredible freedom that when you're working a particular band, instead of turning the knob to try and find someone else calling CQ, you can just look at the spectrum and see where somebody else is. If at least you've got a cat control on your rig, then at the same time, if you see someone suddenly pop up on a different frequency, you click on the display and boom, it'll tune your radio to that frequency, which is kind of fun. The other way is you could be working, say, 20 meters, and you can keep an eye on what's going on in 40 meters. So if the band starts to come alive, it's like, hey, something's going on in 40 meters now, so you just click on the display and boom, you're off working a different band. Audio and IF digital signal processing, again, I already mentioned that. Everything is done digitally these days. It gives you a lot of freedom. You can do much better filtering. You have the ability to do future upgrades and all sorts of good stuff. Filters is a key thing. In a lot of the software now, you have the ability to put very sharp roll-off filters, which means if you get adjacent signals coming in that are a pain, you can, you know, have a very sharp cutoff of the signal you want to get versus the signal you don't want to get. You can implement very sharp notch filters, so if there's some sort of interfering signal in the band, you can get rid of that. The key thing for us is, speaking as SDR Play, we've tried to do hardware that works with off-the-shelf available PC hardware. Okay, so you're going to run the software on a standalone PC. It could be still running XP even, but there is a lot of horsepower available relatively cheaply from the PC world because of the economies of scale. We're kind of riding the coattails of that so that you can buy a lot of processing power, you can run lots of different receivers, you can do all sorts of things at the same time without breaking the bank. Multiple VFOs, that kind of goes without saying. You know, most radios will give you two VFOs, right? You've got pretty much an infinite number once you're doing this in software. You have the ability to record large bandwidths of data. I'm not going to go into IQ streams and all that other stuff. One reason is because you don't have time, mainly because I don't fully understand it. If you want to know all about IQ, Mr. Hicks is your man. But you have the ability, in the case of our receivers, we typically monitor up to 10 megahertz of bandwidth at the time. So you can record that entire 10 megahertz of bandwidth over a certain period of time, and then you can come back later, play back that signal, and you can tune across that band. So if you suddenly see a signal there, you can go across that band and tune as if you were doing it live. Now, I think that kind of takes the fun out of some contesting type stuff where people will do that. Another thing people will do is they will record chunks, you know, just before and just after the hour, so they can go back and look at signals and try and find out the identification of what those signals were. So that's pretty cool. Record and playback of audio, that's pretty straightforward. You can do that with any Windows kind of software. When I go around and I talk to a lot of hams, what they're interested in is getting into something new. You all know now because there's dedicated hardware out there supporting various digital modes, but a lot of people are old school like me. We used to just good old-fashioned analog stuff on 20 meters, 40 meters, whatever, doing a little bit of shortwave listening. And they hear about all this other weird stuff that's going on. And SDR is an easy way to get into it. There's a lot of freely available software that lets you go in and explore digital modes. And then the main reason I tell everybody when I go to these conventions is, well, of course you want one. Can you ever have too many receivers? Come on. Our hardware is, compared to Stephen's company's, very low-end. Okay, this is using our RSP-1. So we're picking up the NOAA weather satellites on 137 megahertz. People use things like turnstile antennas and stuff. In most cases, you don't even need to use an external preamp. You can do this out of the box. FLDigi is another popular digital decoding software that's out there. WeFax is another one. It's kind of a bit of old hat now. We've got these fancy satellite images. And some of the newer GO satellites are up there. We're seeing whole Earth full-color pictures of the planet, and it's absolutely awesome. The one thing we've got demonstrated over in hall number 3 is ADS-B, which is monitoring transponder broadcast from aircraft. They come down at 1 gigahertz, and they tell you things such as altitude, speed, heading, end number of the aircraft, and so on and so forth. And using this Dump 1090 software, you can get that, hook it up with something called VRS, Virtual Radar Server, which will take the information, present it nicely, and show you on a Google Map representation where the flight is and where it's going, which is pretty cool stuff. At least I think it is. So that's what you can do with it. You may have known that already, or it may have given you some ideas. And then the question is, how do you decide which SDR to buy? The simple answer is, I'm here from SDR Place, so buy one of mine. But you might also want to buy something from Flex. I see ELAD's here. I think AirSpy's here as well. There's a lot of manufacturers out there. So how do you decide what you want to do? As I said at the beginning, my main role in life is to be an evangelist for SDRs. So what I always tell people is, when you leave this hall, please go out there and buy one. And I honestly don't care whether it's one of mine or whether it's one of Steve's or whether it's one of somebody else's. Because I guarantee you, you get your feet wet in SDR, you're going to have so much fun, you're going to pursue it and you're going to go further, you're going to get more specialized in what you're interested in. You'll probably go in and identify more expensive hardware you want to pursue your hobby. It's just like any other hobby, right? So computers, ham radio, same difference. So some of the things you want to look at. Frequency range. Over what range can you tune this SDR? And they're all over the shop. My products tend to fall in the sort of general purpose, all trade things. We can tune from 1 kilohertz all the way up to 2 gigahertz. There are some that won't even tune HF. There's like VHF and up, and you need extra hardware to get down into the HF band. So just be sure that the frequency coverage is adequate to match what you think you're going to be doing initially. I wanted to do shortwave listening. That was until I discovered all the cool stuff that's going on in VHF and UHF and so on. You'll get hooked, I guarantee it.
You're listening to an excerpt from an introduction to SDR, voiced at the 2018 Dayton Hamvention by Steve Brightman, the man behind SDR Play Limited. We'll conclude this excerpt from Steve's presentation in a moment. You're in the midst of the Rain Report. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
ADC resolution. There is more talked about ADC resolution than just about any other subject in technology, I think. Suffice to say, as I said at the end, higher is usually better. I will guarantee you, if you buy an 8-bit dongle in the flea market, it will work. It may not work superbly well, but it will work. I guarantee you, the more bits you get, the better it will work. But that's not the whole story. ADC resolution will affect the dynamic range you have, whether or not you overload the A to D when you're demodulating it. But it's not just the ADC. There's signal processing in front of the ADC that affects it as well. As soon as you put a variable gain stage in front of the A to D, you're effectively adding more bits of resolution. So it's a very convoluted thing. And all I would say, if you're coming at it from the first time, is in general, more bits is good. 8 bits isn't enough. 8+ is a good starting point. Preselectors, I kind of got into that just now. Analog filters in front of the A to D are very important. We're talking about wide coverage receivers here. So the front end of this thing in general is wide open. And if you're trying to monitor 40 meters and you've got some Yahoo with a 2-meter rig standing next to you, pumping tons of energy in there, you don't want that pushing up the signal and overloading your A to D, right? So you need some form of preselector in there that narrows down the frequency of interest that you're going to tune to. So that's a good thing to have. Instantaneous bandwidth. The range you can tune over is one thing. How much of that range you can see at any given time is another. So that's what I mean by bandwidth. Software, there are lots of software packages out there. Some people like to use packages they're already familiar with, and so they would like to use that regardless of the hardware. But most manufacturers will also offer their own kind of software. There are even some out there that have a transmitter as well as a receiver. That is a big debate that we can have forever on the desirability of that. And finally, price. Now, what I've noticed amongst most hams, at the risk of making a sexist comment, the amount of money they can spend on a new rig is inversely proportional to whether or not their wife's with them at the time. But if it's a consideration, be careful. I'll probably get fired for that now, won't I? The politically correct police will get me. So, in general, and I can't speak for other people's product, I see the industry as being split into three broad categories. There's the starter products, bottom left, the 8-bit dongles. They're very cheap. You know, you can get them as low as $10. 8-bit resolution. It's a good way to get your feet wet. And they'll work. And that's fine. You start with that. That's cool. Then you get these general purpose ones. And that's kind of where I'm sitting. They're kind of like the jack of all trades kind of SDRs. They've got broad coverage. A pretty good performance. They tend to be in the $100 to $200 price range. And again, that's another way to kind of get used to what you want to do. And then if there's a particular area you want to concentrate on, then there are these high-end ones. And they can range from hundreds of dollars up to thousands of dollars. They'll give you the absolute highest performance level for what they do. And if that's what you need, then that's where you need to go. That's kind of the variety that's out there. I haven't talked much about software because, again, it varies as a function of what hardware you have. And we've got one called SDR Uno, which we show here. Free software that's very popular. SDR Console. HDSDR, Cubic SDR. Actually, Cubic SDR is pretty cool because it's the only truly multi-platform one out there. So that runs on Linux, Mac, Pi, Raspberry Pi it runs on. I think there's even an Atom API we've got for it now. But in general, the manufacturer-provided software will eke the maximum performance out of the hardware.
And that concludes this excerpt of a 2018 Dayton Hamvention talk about an introduction to SDR, software-defined radio technology. It was voiced by Steve Brightman, the man behind SDR Play Limited. For more information about SDR, you're welcome to check out Steve's website, sdrplay.com. That's sdrplay.com. The Rain Report updates Saturdays on therainreport.com and on shortwave
on 5085 kHz
from Lebanon, Tennessee, on WTWW around 9 p.m. Central Time following the Amateur Radio Newsline. Oh, a last-second congrats to Rain founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, and his forever wife Stephanie, KA9WKD, on celebrating 42 years of matrimonial bliss on August 28th. Happy anniversary, Hap. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. Keep on hamming.